time all of you. Thank God for his many blessings. It's good to be with New Covenant tonight. I thank God. Last Sunday I was down in Tampa. Boy, we had a very good time. Because the Lord really moved and he poured out his blessings. The people were healed and delivered. And the Spirit of God really moved in Minister John Williams and Pastor John Williams. So I just thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I want to, tonight, if you would open the Word of God to Hebrews chapter 11, is going to be where I'm mainly going to be from, but I'm going to look at a couple of the scriptures. And I'm trying to get my iPad to work tonight. You can come sit down. She'll be back. Somebody comes down.
To me. Come on.
Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, and I hear a lot of lessons and sermons on having faith in God.
We can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. It'll take a moment to adjust to where I am, but anyway. There are a lot of people who preach right now, and rightly so. I'm not knocking it on faith and having faith in God. And you need to have faith. You need to have faith in God, and you need to believe in God, especially if you pray. So there are a lot of lessons that tell you how to have faith in God and what your faith is supposed to be like. And I'm not saying any of them are wrong. Kind of like Paul, if you're preaching the gospel at all, as long as you're just not preaching something that I just can't possibly go along with, then preach on. And since we are preaching, if we all there are differences of administration, as it says, same spirit, then all of us don't preach the same, and God doesn't give all of us the same thought. And then, if you're not preaching just for you're not just preaching academically. Can you hear me now, LA? Is this still low?
Still a little low.
Okay. I don't know how to adjust that because let me see. All right. Hopefully it'll catch up. Usually we have it on auto volume, and once we stop singing and everything, the computer has to make adjustments. So. Hopefully we'll get it, but can you hear me well enough to at least follow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. So we can get this going. People preach a lot about, they like to preach about the woman with the issue of blood, which I agree with. I love that. The man at the pool of Bethesda, and I, you know, my favorite one to preach about with faith and watching God move. The woman at the well and all those places. But God was moving. God moves for people who don't have faith.
Amen.
And many times, God, like I say all the time, I don't think people believe me when I say it. I think it's just a normal function. But I don't have any faith to keep my heart beating. God just does that, and He
Amen.
Does it for everybody else in the world who lives.
Yes. Yes.
If you are breathing, God's doing it.
Yes,
He upholds all things by the word of His power.
Oh, yes.
And the Scripture says that. By him all things consist. In other words, the movement of them and the order of them and the maintaining of them.
Yes.
God maintains every one of us. We are kept by the power of God. And then in one scripture, when it says we're kept by the power of God, in that particular case, it means we're kept saved by the power of God.
Yes.
In addition to kept living we're
yes.
kept saved by the power of God. So I thank God for His goodness and His mercy. Anybody who will get up and preach out the Word of God and will preach, believe in God, trust in God, I can go along with. But there's something else, and then say, here comes the hook. No. There's something else we need to do too, and that's not only have faith in God, but we need to trust in the faith of God. God is faithful. I want to look at a couple of scriptures today Even as I say that, they stand out in my thumb. We're just going to read a few for a moment. And see what we got. and if I can bring them up. Let's look at, and I'm going to have you turn in for a minute, and then we'll stop. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and 9. And we're talking about the faith of God. Now, it's easy for me to understand the faith of God because when you see Moses at the Red Sea, you see Israel coming out of Egypt, you don't see the people having any faith in God at all.
Yeah.
Moses has some faith in God. But even Moses at the Red Sea doesn't know what he's going to do. And, you see the faithfulness of God. And when you read in the in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, and you read about how God brought them out of Egypt, you don't see anybody like the woman who has the issue of blood saying, you know, I knew if I could get to you, you'd heal me. And you don't see anybody, you know, coming up like the Syrophoenician woman who says that, you know, I know you have the power, you just, you know, I need you to cast the devil out of my daughter. When you see them coming out of Egypt, you see people who God has to remind that he's with them, although they can see a pillar cloud by day and a pillar cloud by night. He has to over and over and over and over again keep saying to them, I'm with you. And we're like that because God has to remind us and keep saying to us and telling us, I'm with you, because we don't have faith. We don't trust in the faith of God. Of God. Trust in God. I want to read Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God. The faithful God. In other words, what he says he will do.
Yes.
The faithful God. Jesus in one place told them in Mark, he said, have faith in God. In other words, he's telling you, you need to trust in God. And the point being is because God is somebody you can trust, because what the Lord says he's going to do, he's going to do.
Yes.
And so he says in this, which keepeth covenant and mercy with him that loveth him, and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations. In other words, God does not break his promise. And there have been covenants that were broke with God, but it wasn't because God broke them. It was because the other people broke them. We broke them. You know, we made vows to God. God has never broken a vow to me. I've broken vows to God. But he has never broken his vow to me. God is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. And for those of you who turn to 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 quickly, we'll be in 1 Corinthians for the next one too. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9. Turn to that one. And it says, quite frankly, God is faithful.
Yes.
God is faithful. I watch for all of us, and we're saying, have faith in God. And I've seen people try to make a very academic thing or systematic thing of how to have faith in God. They'll say things like, you have to be particular about what you ask, and that might be true sometimes. And they said, you have to make up your mind about what you want. That's probably true sometimes. And so why does he say sometimes? Because God has moved for me many times when I wasn't particular about what I wanted. Sometimes I didn't know what you want. But I'm not saying that it's not wrong when you tell God specifically what you need. The only problem with that is every now and then you'll specifically think you need something that God says that you don't need. And then you have to be willing to hear the Spirit when he says to you, no, that's not what you're supposed to do. That's not where you're supposed to go. But otherwise, I'm in favor of asking God specifically for what you need. I don't have a problem with that. And then, you know, I was listening to somebody the other weekend, and the lady was saying, you have to choose to be faithful. I agree with that. You won't get an argument out about me about that. I agree. You have to decide you're going to, and that one's probably one of the main ones I agree with, because you have to decide you're going to work with God. I want everybody out here to know, you have to go along with God. Even just to be saved, you have to go along with God. Salvation is there. The Spirit is there. Heaven is there. Eternal life is there. But you have to agree. To allow God to give it to you. God is not going to force it on you. You're going to have to make up your mind. It's like this COVID shot. You know, You know, it's not like in the military, elevate the nose and all of us. In the military, I'm amazed at them not making military people get this shot, because every other shot the military has ever had, that when I was in there, you didn't have a choice. They said, go over here and take this shot.
Yeah.
When we were in basic, they just lined us up, gave us shots. They didn't even tell us what they were.
That's right.
They just roll up your sleeve and
give you a shot.
Shoot it and then we're also done. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, but now they're saying, well, a third of the Marines don't want to take the shot. How can, you know, it's a changing world, because if you didn't take shots of medical when I was in, that made you not worldwide deployable. And although you were stationed in Florida all your career and you had somebody moving you around trying to keep you from going overseas, you know, some people got these people in their back pocket, they hold them to a little place or whatever, you still have to be worldwide deployable.
Lord,
otherwise, they put you out.
Yeah.
But God is like this. God's salvation is so great, but if you don't want it, then God will not make you have it.
Right, yes.
But God is faithful. So when people are preaching about having faith in God and talking about the woman at the well and when Jesus saw her great faith in him, what it really, they sometimes almost preach it, if you don't know any better, as if faith in itself is a power. And it's
it
not.
Is, yes.
God has the power. But I understand that. I know when Jesus said this woman has great faith, it means that she trust God to do what God says he will do.
Yeah.
And when he says, I'm the Lord God that healeth you, she made up her mind, if I can get you where the Spirit of the Lord is, I will be healed. So in 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you are called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:13, this is my favorite one. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man, but God is faithful.
Yes.
There is no trial or anything you're going to go through. No troubling, no disturbance, no problem. When it says temptation, in this particular case, it's not referring to being tempted to sin, or although that could be in it too. But it's talking about a trial or a problem or something that arises. And especially in these days, as turbulent as the U.S. is, for whatever reason, and it's getting to be a point where you can't even blame one side or the other. It's the turbulence that's in the world because of sin.
Because of sin.
And if you're trying to wait until you can elect some Holy Ghost-filled person to fill the position, you can forget about that, because it's not a position that a Holy Ghost-filled person can hold. Because Holy Ghost-filled people tell the truth. I hope they do. And if you're going to really be ye holy as God says, because God is holy, you'll have a hard time being elected in these days in any country in the world.
That's right.
But there's the word that Jesus absolutely was not, that anybody who's in politics absolutely is, and that is they are filled with guile.
Yes.
They spin everything and manipulate everything. It doesn't matter where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to make up your mind, the one that you can kind of put up with best.
Yeah.
So it's not bad enough for us to be raptured yet. If it ever got bad enough, we would be taken out of here. I'm sure about this. This gives me comfort, because as bad as it's getting in saints these days, we need to pray and hold fast, because you got 11-year-olds shooting up schools, and you got people hijacking school buses, and all manner of craziness that you can name, and it's just so now's the time to draw near to the Lord for two reasons. One of them is that he keeps you safe in the earth, and the other is so that when the earth gets to the point where God is ready, go back and leave the earth. So God is faithful. God is someone you can trust, because God is faithful.
Yes.
It isn't that, and here again, I want to contrast that with Israel. God is faithful in carrying them to the promised land, and it's not because of Moses or Aaron or anybody's faith that they go in. It's because of the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
When you consider that I'm saved today, if you're saved today, that my sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and that I have, and that I'm saved because of Christ's death, his powerful burial, and his resurrection,
yes.
that all who believe that God the Father has resurrected him from the dead shall be saved. I'm saved because of that. It isn't, you know, it's not that God does this depending on how faithful I am. God says that if this is the way you're saved, and anybody who does this, God saves them.
Yes, yes.
God is faithful.
Yes.
And then I'll add a little point on this. Stop letting people add on to what people have to be saved.
Yep.
I'm coming to this. I put up with it for a lot of years. Every time somebody added on and said, well, you got to do this, otherwise they're not saved. I'm going back to what the Bible says.
Yep.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God the Father has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
And everybody who wants to add on like the Jews did and say, now you got to have this, now you got to have that, and then they go look in their Bible and, well, I got this, so now everybody got to have it. And I got this, so everybody's got to have it.
Yeah.
You keep on doing that. Now, if you stay good and saved like that, all right. But I'm going to go back to the basics and just trust God. Because if it were not for the grace and mercy of God, every person who's walked down that aisle, if they've been saved more than a day, have had to go back since they've been saved and use the blood again.
Yes.
And every person who's cried and wept, and why is that? It's not because we're horrible people. It's because we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And God knew that he would have to wash us multiple times. Because if it had not been for that, he would say that you only get to use the blood once. And when they asked Jesus about forgiveness, and they would say, how many times shall we forgive? He would say, once. But he didn't. He said 70 times 70, which meant not just 490 times, but an unlimited amount of times. As long as you will truly repent and come to God, God will forgive you. And the blood does not lose its power. It's a perfect sinless blood. So, you know, I'm jumping off this bandwagon with the people who keep adding on what people have to do to be saved. And now you got to work in the gifts to be saved. And now you got to do this to be saved. That's not what the Bible says.
No, it doesn't.
It just, you know, Alan Smith, it just doesn't say that. And I'm in favor of gifts. My God, I'm a Pentecostal preacher in that regard. I believe in being healed. I wish everybody could be healed. I wish my life was such that I could lay hands on people, and everybody I lay hands on, they'd be healed.
Amen.
Ella Smith would have never had to go through all those surgeries and through all those. But, you know, these things are for the glory of God. When Jesus came with all the power that he had, and you would say, well, Jesus couldn't get around to everybody who was sick. Okay, well, let me make you quiet real quick. Jesus didn't go to where the centurion's son is.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't have to go to where he is. Jesus didn't go to where the Syrophoenician's woman's daughter is.
No.
He didn't have to go to where they are. Just his willingness for them to be healed heals them.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And yet, not everybody in Jesus' time is healed.
Yes, that's right.
Lazarus isn't healed. The poor Lazarus isn't healed. He does it for the glory of God, so that you'll see that you can die sick and poor and still make it in. Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, he isn't healed. He dies. He does it for the God uses his resurrection for the glory of God. Stop trying to, you know, line everything up and make everything look like so you are so perfectly saved that you are the model of salvation, and everybody who's going to be saved has to be it like you are.
That's right.
Or at least like you appear to be. And let's just say, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and this makes the understanding that you really believe in Christ, and will believe that God the Father has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, it follows, as John the Baptist said, that some fruit, for, you know, some sign of repentance is there. Follows that if the Holy Ghost dwells in you, he's going to change you, because that's the reason why he came. And it follows that you can't just say you have repented and not.
Right, amen,
So when we say this, I don't care about all the people there, well, that's just a walk up. They might not. If you're saying that you believe Jesus Christ is resurrected from the dead and you don't, that's your problem.
Yes, that's right.
And if you're saying that you have repented when you have not, again, that's your problem.
Oh, yeah. God knows.
But the way that God has made for all those who will believe with their heart, in their core, their, with all of their being, the way that God has made, if you will do what God has asked you to do, you will be saved.
Yes, amen.
And for all the folk who, you know, handle the gospel shabbily and do all those things, hey, you know, that doesn't make God change his method.
No.
And if you, you know, pretend to be this or pretend to be that, like the sons of Steve or whatever, that is your, you know, that doesn't make God say, oh, well, now they're, you know, because you know how we are. On earth, since we do everything by law, if we do something and people learn how to get around it, and number one, don't worry, there are no loopholes in salvation, because the person who searches the heart to see whether or not you have really believed in Christ and really repented is the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And he searches from within, and he knows the mind.
Yeah.
And God knows the mind of the Spirit. And so there's no loophole that you can go through and end up in heaven by playing a game with God.
No. Amen.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't
As a matter of fact, some people are not going to end up in heaven because they're counting on a system to get them in.
Yeah.
Some people are counting on their organization to get them in. Some people are counting on their family to get them in.
Yeah.
Some people are counting on their church to get them in. And salvation is a very personal, individual effort.
Yeah, yes. You gotta be safe for yourself.
So then, one of the things that we see in Deuteronomy and in Corinthians when Paul is writing, he talks about not how much faith Paul has or how much faith the Corinthians have. He talks about the faithfulness of God.
Yes.
In other words, he says you can trust God because God is faithful. Maybe you might not show up to prayer, but God is sitting here waiting. And maybe you don't repent, but God is sitting here waiting.
Yes.
The faith, and if you will go to God, God will move on your behalf. Maybe you won't ask God, but God is sitting here waiting.
Yes, amen.
Let's look at another one. I was talking about 13, yeah. And so we're going through trials in 1 Corinthians. I love it because it says, but God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. And this is where people get the thing from, he won't put more on you can bear.
Yeah.
Well, I can live with that if you're over 80. But if you're in your 30s and 40s, you need to be able to interpret this better than that. And, you know, it's not an issue of God putting more on you than you can bear.
Yeah.
It's God making sure that nothing comes in your life that is so terrible when you have the Holy Ghost that it would cause you to go back and not be in God.
Yeah.
Now, when you're a sinner, things come in your life all the time that are more than you can bear. And since sinners don't have the help of the Holy Spirit, don't have the comforter, which is God himself, to see them through it, they kill themselves. They go to drugs, they do whatever, because it is more than they can bear.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's certainly many things out there that would be more than I could bear if I didn't have help.
Yeah,
but I have, as 1 Corinthians says, a comforter. He's the God of all comfort.
Yeah.
And he's faithful.
Yeah.
When I'm going through and when I'm down and situations are difficult, he comes in.
Yeah.
When my sister Ann died, I was in Philadelphia and Jackie asked me to do the funeral. And I said, okay, yeah, of course I will. Because, you know, when you're a servant of God, there are not many things that people ask you to do, especially when you're a preacher. You don't say no very often.
Right, yeah.
And I said, and then I was sitting there and I was in Philadelphia, in the church in Philadelphia. And all of a sudden, I'm looking, and the devil, who always shows up like he showed up when Jesus was in the wilderness, he says, why did you decide to do this? He says, you should have told her that you weren't able to do this, and you're grieving too, and that she should have gotten somebody else. Well, the Lord came in, and he gave me a scripture, and I got up, and I preached the funeral in Philadelphia, and the Lord really helped me out, and it went really well, and everything was good. But then she had two funerals. They had to have another funeral in North Carolina because that's where all the family was. Friends were in Philadelphia, families in North Carolina.
Yep.
And I was in the church in North Carolina in Fallen Run, which means a brook. And I sit there, and the devil really came that time. I was, you know how in the Baptist church they have these great big podiums that, you know, the preacher can't see anything but the backside of the podium, and the people can't see what he's doing back there, and you know, And I haven't ever figured out why anybody wanted to be sitting behind that podium. I hated it. But I was sitting there, and I felt very disconnected from everybody. And he came again, and this time he was even worse. He said to me, he said, "You preached the gospel of that funeral in Philadelphia, and you insulted those people by saying to them they need to prepare themselves to go to heaven." He said, "If your niece put up with that then, but she's not going to put up with it this time. And if you get up here and preach this like you did, she's going to get up in the middle of it and think," you know, he just really goes on. And I started to feel really out of it and like I wasn't going to be able to make it. And again, I started thinking to myself, why are you doing this? You know, you could have let someone else, you know, you're not the only preacher in the family. You could have said, "Well, Jackie, you know, I've had my turn. This, you know, I could have." And he came to me and he's, you know, just really, and then the God of all comfort came. As soon as the family, you know, sat down and did everything, the God of all comfort, came. And it was like the devil was just going,
yes.
And he was not there. And as soon as I got up and opened my Bible and started to go where the Lord would have me go, then the Spirit was there and I was fine.
Yeah,
He's the God of all comfort. There is no temptation. There's nothing we're going through now. If you will obey God, now you can make your trial difficult.
Yes.
You can make the thing difficult. Yeah. It's like Elder Lakeland said about getting a shot. You can sit up here and be like these people who are going to try God. Yeah. I ain't going to get no shot. You know, if it's my time to go, it's my time to go. Well, what are you going to do when you get sick and you about near dead? They're going to send you to a hospital and give you something.
Something, yes. Yes.
You know, but God is the point being is I can depend on God, as the song says, because God is faithful. Let's read another one so I can finish. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he that calleth you. He is faithful that called us out of sin, called us out of darkness. And what did I say? 1 Thessalonians 5:24.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what it says?
Yes.
Called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called us so he could save us, redeem us, give us eternal life. And he says he's faithful that called us, who also will do it.
Yes.
The things that God has called us to do, he also will do it. Let's look at another one. 2 Thessalonians 3:33. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. God, remember, there have no temptation taking you. But the Lord is faithful. God is faithful. Saints of God, God is faithful. Even when you act like the children of Israel in the wilderness, God told them, "I'm going to take you to Canaan. I'm going to take you to a land with milk and honey." In other words, I'm going to bless you and take care of you. You're going to have houses that you did not build, full of goods. You have vineyards that you didn't plant. In other words, I'm gonna make you rich. I'm gonna do like he did for Joseph, like he did for John. I'm gonna give you the job of jobs.
God. Yes, amen.
I'm gonna work things out.
Yes,
you will be all right. Yes. And they murmured, complained, backslid, did all those things. But God is faithful.
Faithful, God is faithful.
And it took him 40 years to get some people there because of them and because they held him up. You can hold up God because you won't obey.
Yeah, that's right.
Going through a trial because you won't obey. Marriage would get better if you would obey.
Yes.
Life would get better if you would obey God. God knows how to work your job out. God knows how to work your career. It's not just this generic job. God can work out a job. God can work out your job.
Amen.
And not just God can work out a marriage. God can work out your marriage.
Yes.
And not just God can work out your situation, a situation. God can work out your situation if you will obey God.
Amen. Yes.
The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. The Lord knows how to bring godly people through a trial. But the point being, godly people. People who will obey God. God is faithful. Will you be faithful?
Amen.
He says in this 2 Timothy 2:10-13. I can find all of it. If we believe not, and this is the good one, because this is Deuteronomy, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself.
Yes, amen.
If we believe not, God is still, whether you believe or not, God is still faithful. You know, Jesus is coming.
Yes,
you don't have to say, I believe it. He's coming anyway.
Yeah.
Whether you believe it or not,
he's coming.
Jesus
amen.
Is coming.
Yes, amen.
God is going to have a people who are going to serve them of their own free will,
yes.
Whether you believe it or not. You're not going to stop eternity from being there. You can use all the science, you can use whatever you want, but Jesus is coming. It doesn't matter what you believe. Hopefully, you're believing he's coming, you're trusting in God, you're looking for him to come,
yes.
And when he comes, you'll go back with him. But if you're not, he's still coming.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Heaven is heaven, whether you believe it or not.
Yeah.
Hell is hell, whether you believe it or not. You can
yes.
go join a certain religion
yes.
that doesn't believe that there isn't a hell. It won't change
it.
You can
yes.
join another religion that doesn't believe in heaven. It
won't
change
it. It's still there. Yes, amen.
Well, let me see if there's another one I have. Hebrews 10 and 23. Let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10 and 23.
Yes.
Let us hold fast to our profession without wavering. Our profession of faith without wavering. In other words, stop giving up on God, because God is faithful.
Yes.
For he is faithful that promised.
Yes.
1 Peter 4 and 19. Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well doing, but unto a faithful creator.
Yes.
He is a faithful creator. Peter, 1 Peter 4 and 19. He is a faithful creator. Sun comes up every day.
Yes, it does. Praise the Lord.
Earth rotates every day.
Yes.
We breathe every day.
Yes.
The God who created us, he's faithful.
Faithful. Yes.
Keeps us living.
Yes.
Keeps us breathing.
Yes.
Keeps giving us the word of God. He makes a way for us. We have a faithful creator. John 1 and 9, 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful.
Yes.
And just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all
unrighteousness.
If we confess our sins and not confess our sins to the priest, not confess our sins to the pastor, not confess our sins to the pope, not confess our sins to the bishop.
Yes.
If we will confess our sins to God,
yes.
And when we're repenting and say, Lord, I have sinned, he
yes.
is faithful.
He'll yes.
forgive us
yes.
of our sins
yes.
and wash us and cleanse us from all
yes.
unrighteousness.
Yes.
He is faithful. He yes. never changes his mind. You know about us, we'll forgive, and then we get tired of forgiving.
Right.
And I got a word for you on that, too. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Let me tell you something about forgiving. And I'll ask the Holy Ghost, can I put this in here? Or do I need to press on? Let me tell you something about forgiving, because some people don't like to hear me preach, because some people say, the only thing he talks about is forgiving. Look, heaven is based on forgiveness.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It is. That's true.
In the King James Version, when you read in Matthew, and I'm not going to go there tonight, but it's an interesting thing. In the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, the 6th chapter, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. In other
yes.
words, we owe God something. Forgive
yes.
us what we owe, what we owe, the obedience and things
yes.
that we owe, that we have not
yes.
given him.
Yes.
And we don't want him to hold this against us.
Yes.
We should have been an obedient people. And when we come to God, there's no way we can make up for not having obeyed and not having done the will of God. And it's a debt that we cannot pay. And we need him to forgive the debt and let us off the hook. But then there are us. He says, as we forgive our debtors, and this is why I was praying for somebody and the Spirit revealed this to me. People who have a broken heart, you know why you have a broken heart that doesn't seem to heal? And the Lord, we keep praying for you, and God keeps, and the God of all comfort is comforted, but you can't get comforted. You know why?
Yes.
Because when you spend some time with people or do things, You feel like they owe you because you gave them your time, and you gave them your heart, and you gave them your love, and you gave them your affections, and you gave them, and then they walked off and left you, and you feel like they owe you. And they do. But if any man be in Christ, he's new, and this new person that you are, let them go. This new person can say, forget it. You don't owe me anything. And if I don't owe you anything, I can forgive you.
Yeah, that's right.
I will forgive my debtors. Because as long as I'm feeling hurt, I'm angry, I won't forgive them. It's because I feel like they owe me. It's like the man on Popeye. You owe me an apology. What you're saying is they owe you an apology. Shouldn't have treated me like they treated me. They owe me. You know, somehow or another, they need to repay me for my effort in them.
That's right.
But when you come to God, there's no way you can repay God, so he forgives the debt. And if you want to go free, you know what you need to do? Forgive that debt. Forgive that debt. Yes, I put my time in them, but that's okay. God's giving me new time. Yes, I put my affections in them, but that's okay. God's giving me new affections. Yes, I put my heart in them, that's okay. God's giving me a new heart and a clean one this time. I put my money in them, but that's okay. God is still blessing me. I still got money. And you go on and on. But you know what you need to do? You need to say, and if they come to you later on and say, you know, I'm really sorry for the way I treated you. You know, you need to be honest and say, you know what? It doesn't even matter. I let that go so long ago. And I didn't just let it go because I couldn't do anything about it. I said, you no longer owe me. I could write you a letter and say to you, you know what? You no longer owe me. Because you know what God says? You no longer owe me.
Praise the Lord.
Because of the blood that was paid, you no longer owe me.
Amen.
You owe me obedience, which you didn't give. You should have called on me from the very beginning, which you didn't do. You acted like you didn't even know me, which you did. And you owe me an apology. That's okay. The blood takes care of it. And all your sins have been blotted out. You know what you need to say for people that you can't forgive? You need to let this, whatever it is that you can't forgive, be blotted out. And when you blot it out, then you can forgive and forget. Because it's not there anymore. It's the people who say, well, I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. No, you still got it written down on the ledger. They owe me. They owe me. Walked out on me. Put my time and I could have been doing it, but they owe me. You need to do like God. And you need to make up your mind. They don't owe me anything. They owe that person, but I'm a new creature. Say, but I was saved. I was new with it when I was with them. I was married then, and I was already new, and they owe me for that. No, but new mercies every day. You can be new every day, every situation. You know, as God moves you on, start a new day. And go on in God. Forgive them their debts. So, well, you know, I'm really sorry that I messed up. No, that's okay. That's done. That was another life. That life's gone. Those days are gone. Let me move on. Get back to this paper so I can finish. If we confess our sins, he's just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want to go to Hebrews. And I'm almost done. Y'all not sleep on me yet, are you? Okay. This is what I'm drawing from. When I talk about the faith of God, there's somebody in Hebrews, they all knew about the faith of God, but one person stands out to me. And they all should. But one in particular stands out to me. And it's in verse number, starting in 11. Hebrews 11 and 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 11. And this person stands out to me tonight. And it's not the one that people like usually talk about. Through faith, because of her faith in God, Sarah herself received strength to conceive. It wasn't just Abraham. If Sarah didn't have faith in God, she would have never going in that tent.
Yes.
For lack of a better way of putting it. Abraham would just be wasting his time.
Mm.
Sarah also, you know, the Sarah that everybody says messed up,
yes.
You know, and got ahead of God, like the preach sermons on, and how she got God's way, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, is Sarah's faith, do you think Sarah loved giving her handmaiden to Abraham?
No,
she's trying to do the will of God. She's trying to do the will of God. And she knows how old she is. And it isn't at this time that God has said, without any doubt, that Sarah's going to have a child. And if he has, she understands that by their law, if her handmaiden gives him a child, it's still considered her doing it because she gives permission to do it. She's doing the best she can do.
Yeah.
But then when God says to her, at the last, in the 18th chapter, 16th chapter, wherever it is of Genesis, Genesis, I said it. If Sarah's going to have a child, then Sarah has to have faith enough to do what's necessary to have a child. And she says, because of her faith in God, she says, all right, I'm going to do this.
All right.
I'm going to go on in here with my old self, and I'm going to see what's going to happen, because God said this is what we need to do. And she received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And why does she do this, Chandra? Because of her faith in God. Because she judged him faithful that had promised.
Amen. Yes.
He promised Abraham that through him all nations of the earth were going to be blessed. And it wasn't just Sarah didn't have a baby at 90 because of Sarah's faith. Sarah had faith enough to go in and to be with Abraham. But she did this because God said she did it. You know, she wasn't going to walk out looking like she was stupid. She went in there knowing that God said that when you do this, you're going to have a child. And through him, all nations are going to be blessed. She judged him faithful and had promised. This is the thing about us. And I'm almost finished. We got to stop. I don't have a problem with people preaching about build up your faith. Where's your faith? You don't have any faith. Gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. Listen, you gotta have faith in God, but you also have to trust in God.
Yes.
And trusting in God means that you believe in the faith of God. You believe in God's faithfulness.
Yes.
Because you got people who are trying to make things happen, and they're trying to talk themselves into faith and do all these things. Maybe I didn't have enough faith or whatever. The point comes down to it is, have faith in God. Trust God's faithfulness. Sounds like I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but there's a difference. There's me coming to prayer every day, and I'm coming to prayer because I'm trying to pray, and I'm showing up for prayer because I'm trying to show God my faith, and I'm hoping God will move because of my faith. And then there's me coming to prayer expecting God to move because God is faithful.
And it's
me who runs to every meeting because I want something from God. So I go to every meeting, every place. I show up everywhere. I'm in every prayer line. I'm trying to show God my faith. That's not the point.
No.
The idea is to have faith in God. When you have when you know of God's faith, when you trust God, if you can't make it to the meeting, you still expect God to move. If you don't go everywhere, you still expect God to move. On a day when you can't get to prayer, you don't feel like I broke my streak, I guess it's not going to happen. You expect God to move.
Yes, he's still going to move. Yes. Amen. Because he's faithful. Yes.
God is faithful.
Yes.
God will do what God says he will do.
You
have to trust in the faith, the faithfulness and the faith of God. I come to prayer. You can come to prayer every day. And what you're counting on is because you heard someone say, pray every day for an hour. Then get out here and run around the building 7 times to do the Jericho March. And then come back and pray again for an hour. Then lay before the Lord for another hour. And you expect God to move. Well, if you do that, you're showing some sort of faithfulness. But the point of it is are you trusting that God's going to do it?
Yeah.
What happens if on your way around the 6th time you sprain your ankle and you can't complete the trip?
Yeah, God is still faithful.
If it's all about your faith, then it's done. Yeah. I used to wonder when I was a long time ago when I first started going to Full Gospel Fellowship, not New Full Gospel, Full Gospel Fellowship, I said it right. And I told Paula one day, we were riding home, we were in our little silver BMW, and I said, why is it that they keep saying to me that all these things, I got to believe it, I got to believe it, I got to name it, I got to claim it, and I cannot doubt, and I'm believing, naming, claiming, and if I have one doubt, poof, it's gone.
Yep, that's right.
And I'm teaching you to have
faith in yourself, yes.
Like your faith is doing the miracles.
Yes.
And your faith is moving.
Yes.
When Jesus tells this woman, great is her faith, what he's saying is, great is your trust in God.
Yes.
You had made up your mind that if you got to where I was, you would be healed. Because you know that when people are where I am, they get healed.
Yes.
You've made up your mind that if you could get to me, you would be healed.
Yes.
The Syrophoenician woman had made up her mind, when I get to him, he's casting out devils.
Yes.
He knows how to cast out devils. If I can get to him, he will cast out this devil out of my daughter.
Yes.
The centurion came to him. He knows how to heal. If I can get to him, he'll heal my son.
Yes, amen.
And he shows us when he says, I don't even have to go home with you. The centurion says, you don't even have to come home with me. If you just decide, speak the word that my son's going to be. If you just decide that my son's going to be healed, he'll be healed.
Amen.
Not naming it, not claiming it.
Yeah.
And here's Sarah. That everybody likes to say made all, just all the blunders. My God. I've watched people in church talk about the women in the Bible and all the blunders they made. They ain't made nowhere near as many blunders as the men. Solomon messed up royally.
Yes, he did.
David wasn't that great himself. He loved God, but his home life was horrible.
Horrible, yes.
Jacob was a deceiver. And so forth. But and then we want to sit back and say, we want to claim that we aren't saved by God's grace and mercy. All them were.
Yes.
And they're no different than us.
That's right.
How is it that somehow or another we get into this lock that we have to have? The idea is, what God loves about David? David would repent.
Yes.
And David would mean it.
Yes.
And David would get himself straight.
Yes.
And David would come out and glorify God and wouldn't have any other gods. You know what God liked about Jacob? Jacob would repent.
Yes.
And Jacob wouldn't have any other god. And Jacob would make sure that his sons learned about God and his sons' sons learned about God. You know how they made it? They would stay with God.
Yes.
It wasn't because every move they made. They were born in sin just like we're born in sin. They made mistakes just like we make them. That's why we have Psalm 51. That's why we have all the Psalms. And Psalm 51 ain't the only one where David talks about what he had to do.
Yes.
But they knew how to go to God.
Yes.
Instead of us trying to preach to people who are always perfect, we need to preach to people, but you know what? You need to go to God because you're not perfect. I am made perfect in God. I'm made perfect because of the blood. I'm not saying just keep messing up, keep using the blood. It won't work like that. Because your mind has to be such that when you go before God, you got to say, God, I was wrong and I don't want to do this anymore.
Yes, amen.
That's what repentance is.
Yes.
But Jesus told him, he said, have faith in God, not just your faith.
Yes.
But you need to trust in God. God is somebody who can be trusted.
Yes.
So then, finally, last scripture tonight. One in Acts and one in Philippians. One in Acts and one in Philippians. Acts, the first chapter, and Philippians, the third chapter. And in Acts, the first chapter, the angel is one who says it. He says in Acts 1 and 9, and when he had spoken these words, these things talking about Jesus while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men, angels, by them in white apparel, stood by them in white apparel, and said, which said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? And this is the promise. This is it, Chandra. This same Jesus which is taken up. This is it, faith. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him going into heaven. God is faithful. Yes. Jesus went up. Jesus is coming back. Philippians, third chapter. Philippians chapter 3 and 21, 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned into his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. These are two promises that God makes. Sarah judged him faithful that promised.
Yes.
It didn't say Sarah judged that her faithfulness was going to make her have a child.
Yes.
Sarah said, I know I'm going to have this baby because I'm faithful. I know me and Abraham going to do this because we are faithful. And I know God's not going to let us down because we are faithful. We build an altar everywhere we go. Abraham calls on God. He's seen God. We are faithful. No, she didn't say we're going to have this child because we're faithful. She says we're going to have this child because God is faithful.
Yes. Amen.
God is faithful. Everybody standing.
Amen.
I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. God is faithful. God is faithful. We need to be faithful like God, but God is faithful. Trust in God. My faith is in God. It's in the faith of
God.
It's not just my faith in God, but my faith is in the faith of God. God is faithful. Miracles happen because God is faithful. People are healed because God is
faithful.
God moves. God moves according to his will. And someone will say from time to time, well, why is it that everything we, if God is faithful, why does he always move? Well, then you need to read James because of that.
Yes.
Because you find out when you read James, not everything you want God to do is in the will of God.
Yes.
And everything that God moves for, God does it for the glory of God. Because God has a reason.
Yes.
Think of God. You would say to yourself, is God so selfish that everything he does, he wants glory? Is that selfishness? No, it's not about selfishness. The glory of God is what causes people to come to God and come out of sin. If the glory of God is what causes people to come out of darkness to light. It is God's glory that draws men and women to him. It's not, you know, you can preach about hell and going to hell and you can keep people scared for a minute, but after a while the fear wears off. But what causes people to repent and stay in God is because of the glory and greatness of God. It is the goodness of God. And so someone will say, well, then why does God always want glory out of healing us and all that? It's because it is by God working in us, the healing in us, the deliverance in us, that causes other people to be saved. They see the glory. It's like when Lazarus is raised from the dead, all the people in Jerusalem see the glory of God. And so many people start believing because Lazarus is raised from the dead. So the Jews decide, we not only need to kill Jesus, we need to kill Lazarus too. They're trying to shut down the glory of God. And then when Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and you really see the brightness of the glory of God, they turn around and say, well, somebody stole the body. They're trying to keep people from seeing the glory of God. So why is it that God moves and blesses me and blesses you so people can see the glory of God? So, well, you know, what does that do? If people didn't need to see the glory of God in me when God saved me, then he could just change me from mortal to immortal. And I'd gone back to heaven. Why am I still here? So people can see the glory of God. Why does God give us miracles? So people can see the
glory.
That's why testimonies are so important. They overcame by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
We're supposed to be lights in there. People are supposed to see in us the glory of God. If you don't live a life so people can see the glory of God, you are unfruitful.
Amen.
And your light is under a bushel.
Yeah.
Our faith has to be in the faith of God.
Amen.
We trust in God. If you're expecting to go back with Jesus, it's the faithfulness of God. You're not going to. Jesus is not going to come because I name it and claim it. If that was the case, I would have named it and claimed it 30 years ago.
Amen.
He's not depending on my faith for him to come back. He's coming back because of the faithfulness of God. When he left, he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I've done that, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. I'm depending on his faithfulness. That if I will allow him to lead me and guide me, he's coming back for me.
Yes.
He has prepared a place for me. I'm depending on God being faithful.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank God for His goodness and His mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Father, we come before in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Father, we come before you because you are a faithful God.
Yes, you're faithful.
Lord, we ask you, O God, to wash us and cleanse us because you're faithful to forgive us of our sins.
And
the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Lord, that's the only way we stay saved.
Yes.
Lord, you're a faithful God. Lord, we'll come before you and confess our sins. Lord, you are faithful to forgive us our sins and to blot them out, O God. Lord, when we go through trials and difficulties and things, Lord, you are faithful, O God. Lord, you heal us when we're sick. You deliver us in our minds. You bring us out. Lord, you feed us when we're hungry. Lord, you take care of us. Lord, all of us, Lord, who are in the house of God, Lord, it is a miracle of the saints of God and how well we have done in a year when the world is in crisis. Lord, the saints of God have done well. Lord, some of them have gotten ahead during this time.
Yes.
And all of them that I know have been sustained and maintained.
Yes.
I don't know of any saints, Lord, that have really gone through. And those who really love the Lord, Lord, you've kept us.
Yes.
And you've seen us through. And Lord, we read about it, we hear about others, and we're not saying they're not saved or what they are. But Lord, the saints we know, glory to God, you have sustained.
Yes.
And you kept us in. And you're no respecter of persons, and I've got to believe that all those who call upon your name and who love you and love your son and have the Holy Ghost, Lord, you kept them in the same way.
Yes.
You brought us through.
Brought us through.
Lord, you're keeping us because, Lord, you said in your word, he that hath begun a good work in us, another promise, is able to sustain it to the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, from the time you saved us, you're able to keep us until we see Jesus. Lord, from the time you washed us and cleansed us, you're able to keep us until the time we see Jesus. Lord, from the time you first forgave us, Lord, you're able to sustain us and keep us until the time we see Jesus. Lord, and you are faithful. Lord, I'm trusting in you because that's the promise you made. Lord, tonight, oh God, Lord, heal the sick because, Lord, you said you're the Lord God that healeth them. Lord, you are faithful. Lord, touch Elder Tiangela.
Yes.
Touch Elder Smith and all those who have any sickness. Lord, touch Sister Nancy tonight, oh God. Touch Elder Harrison, oh God. Touch, Lord, Elisa tonight, Lord. All those, Lord, who need a great move, Lord, in their bodies. Lord, touch them in Jesus' name and make them all way whole. Lord, all the names that I haven't mentioned. Remember Mother Hicks today, tonight, oh God. Touch her in her mind, oh God. Keep Evangelist, Lord, Watson, oh God. Lord, I pray, Lord, just so many names, Lord, more than we can name. Lord, touch my sister Bridget. Lord, give her speech back that she can glorify God. Lord, this time when she's able to speak, let her be like Zacharias. Lord, when he was able to speak, he glorified God. Lord, and open her mouth again and give her speech, Lord, that she can glorify God. Lord, this time, Lord, let it not be the chatter of the world, but Lord, give her the mouth, give her the mind to glorify God. Lord, for all these things we ask, oh God, Lord, you are faithful, oh Lord. Lord, work them out, Lord, so we can glorify God. Lord, call Chandra to continue to glorify God. Lord, move into Mayors and anoint him so he'll glorify God. Lord, add people to this church so they'll glorify God and every other church. Lord, so that they'll glorify God. Not just so I can make a head count report that I have them because they're not mine, they're yours. But Lord, bring them. Bring them to the foot of the throne so they'll glorify God.
Yes.
Lord, we'll give you all the glory. Lord, we'll give you all the praise.
Yes.
Lord, we'll know you're worthy. If there's anything done in the spirit, Lord, if there's anything done that is of any regard, Lord, it's because you have done it.
Yes.
And Lord, we'll glorify your name. Lord, we'll sanctify you and glorify you before the world. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the saints of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for his goodness and his mercy tonight. Thank God for the